Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I had another of those only in New York kind of weeks, theater-wise, that is. The first show I saw is playing in a small venue on Theater Row on 42nd Street. It made me laugh in a way I haven't in a long time. The second show was in one of Brooklyn's most beautiful and vast spaces. That one should have made me cry. Well, it at least made me think about this country's ugliest chapter. The latter takes place in the early 40s, the former in the late 80s. Well, let's start in the 80s. Now, laughter, of course, is totally subjective. I can watch an entire stand-up routine or a popular sitcom and never crack a smile. But for some reason, a show called Miles for Mary, now extended through the end of the month at Playwrights Horizons Peter Sharp Theater, tickled my funny bone. And there's not a joke in it. Rather, we are watching five very distinct characters and hearing a sixth hold a series of committee meetings inside an Ohio high school in 1988. They are planning the school's annual telethon to raise money for scholarships in honor of a late promising student and track star named, of course, Mary. Now, for me, funny is in recognition and relatability. Well, watching this show, you will likely be reminded of every inefficient meeting you've ever attended or perhaps ran. The time wasted, the human dynamics when everyone is overly careful of others' feelings. And Miles for Mary takes place in those self-help overthinking years. Lots of thanks for sharing sentiments expressed here. I'm sorry I got into game mode before it was game time, says one character who happens to be a coach as well. It's a concept. We haven't made it into a theme yet, explains another of the committee members as they debate a catchy title for this year's Combo Telethon Marathon fundraiser. You never run alone. Running up the bills are a few that I recall. This production was created by a company called The Mad Ones, and Miles from Mary actually debuted 2 years ago in Bushwick. It has made the move to Off-Broadway now, where it obviously is enjoying strong word of mouth. And what comes out of the mouths of the characters is so specific, yet not stereotypical. They continue to surprise, and there are some truly memorable scenes, one involving the opening of Christmas presents, another in which one member attempts to explain a new piece of technical equipment. That one takes the idea of patronizing to new and hilarious places. The dialogue is delivered perfectly by actors and creators Mark Bovino, Joe Kernut, Michael Dalto, Amy Statz, Stephanie Wright Thompson, and Stacey Yen. Yes, I know that's six because a very funny, mysterious voice on the conference calls finally shows up in the flesh. It's always hazardous to recommend comedies, but Miles from Mary is a pretty good bet. And it could hardly be more of a contrast to my next play of the week, though play is an exaggeration for He Brought Her Back in a Box, a 45-minute piece from Brooklyn's Theater for a New Audience. The Complex, which is down the street from BAM, always presents challenging works, usually classics by the likes of Shakespeare, Ibsen, and Wilder. This one is authored by an 86-year-old African-American named Adrian Kennedy, and it features two characters, a wealthy young white man and a mixed-race girl with a mysterious backstory. It's 1941 in Jim Crow, Georgia. They fall in love and they tell us, if not quite each other, their stories. He sings occasionally. Literary names like Brothers Grimm and even Noel Coward are referenced. Strobe lighting and projections come in and out, as does a very steep symbolic staircase. Juliana Canfield and Tom Pachinko are fresh out of Yale Drama School and handle their roles nicely. There is, by definition, some power in the playwright's words, but this one doesn't soar or pierce the heart and mind as I'd wished. It feels like neither a developed memory play nor even a polished dramatic poem. Though it is beautiful to look at, it's hard to ask patrons to pay for something that rounds out to $2 a minute. Now, I know many audience members, myself included at times, are excited when they hear that a production is surprisingly short and intermission-free, But 2.5 hours can fly by, and an hour can feel endless if we're not fully involved with the story. I noticed the New York Times today, writing about the Super Bowl, wrote, seconds can feel like minutes, minutes like hours when Brady ventures onto the field in the fourth quarter. Well, I think of my husband who came with me to, he brought her back in a box. He said, I saw a 45-minute play and it was 20 minutes too long. Bottom line, it should not be about the clock unless you keep looking at yours. Finally, another show I recently saw is worth mentioning. Now, as you know, jukebox musicals keep showing up on Broadway. One's about Donna Summer, and the Go-Go's are in development as we speak. Well, the 92nd Street Y just sold out 5 performances of a narrated concert entitled The Bobby Darin Story. And it is quite a story, a Bronx tale, if there ever was one. Darin was portrayed by 2-time Tony nominee Jonathan Groff, who said he would totally, these are his words, be interested in taking this one all the way. And why not? Great songs, a tabloid marriage to Hollywood's sweetheart, a shocking revelation about who the singer's real mother was, a political awakening, and a death sentence that finally ended Bobby Darin's life at the age of 37. So my prediction, Jill, is this could be the next one we hear about.
Well, and why not? So I can't even keep track of the new one. I know Donna Summers is Cher.
Cher, yes, I think Cher, that's right.
And then I think there's a third one, so this would be a good fourth one.
Yes, it would. Carole King is still up there, of course. And Jersey Boys is playing around the city. I don't think it's right in the city now, but I know it's hovering, as they say. You know, Bruce Springsteen's on Broadway. Is that a jukebox? I don't think he would want to call it that. It's really more of a musical memoir, I think you'd say.
Right, and I think that there, I read something recently that spoke of organizing a special Tony for that.
Uh-huh, that would make sense. But, you know, the ones that work are the ones that have more than music. They have really interesting stories. Bobby Darin, of course, was made into a movie, a very poor movie, with, I hate to even mention his name, Kevin Spacey, who idolized Bobby Darin. But that doesn't mean it can't be a play. My God, every other show on Broadway was a movie.
Yeah, and I was absolutely struck that I think it's the 30th anniversary of Phantom of the Opera.
I know it. Isn't that something?
And that was basically an investment of, or so it was said by Andrew Lloyd Webber. He picked up, you know, he just picked up a copy of the, I'm not sure what.
And he thought,
something. Just like, you know, for a few bucks. And thought, yeah, this would make a good, you know, this is a good idea. And I remember way back when, looking at just articles, stories, and trying to see what it would look like and how it could be entertaining. Right. And I trust that that is still taking place. And I am hopeful, but this is just me as an old person, I'm really hopeful that we get back to the entertainment aspect. Because I think that a new generation of audiences should be exposed to the full realm, not just, you know, the intense misery of existence department.
Yes, I agree. And I saw Weber interviewed this week, actually, about that anniversary. And it is amazing that, and that was one of the first, I mean, certainly movies have turned into plays have turned into movies over the year, but that was an important one in terms of seeing this unusual horror film, or reading the script, whatever he did, and seeing it as a dramatic love story musical. That was an important forerunner. And who knew it would still be playing? I walk by that theater all the time, and the line is there.
Right, and it goes back to also Cats. You know, if he hadn't been literate, then and read poetry. And this is, I think, sometimes at this juncture, you know, again, if you've been around long enough, you know it. But if you haven't, you think that it just sort of sprung full-bodied out of the head of Zeus, although you probably don't know who Zeus is. And that's, That's right. That's just there. And
yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of people, well, a lot of people didn't know that Sunset Boulevard was a, you know, great movie with Billy Wilder. They probably only know it as a dark musical. And so there are people who probably think Kinky Boots and Hairspray just emerged out of nowhere. They also were movies, and they were movies about something. But again, those were musicals. They had music to begin with. Something like Phantom of the Opera, really, that took a visionary to see that. But whatever else you think of Andrew Lloyd Webber, he is a visionary, and he's still around, and you got to give him credit.
And one of the things that has always amazed me is, do you know who he shares a birthday with?
I can't imagine.
Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, that's interesting. Gee, that didn't come up on my Facebook. They always tell me who's having birthdays. But maybe they're not my friends on Facebook.
Well, they should be.
I've been pulling to them enough.
I just thought that that it was fascinating that the two, I think visionaries are fair.
Oh, absolutely. Very different, though, with very different fan bases, I would say. But there's probably how many years difference between them? Probably 20, could be there 20. Sondheim certainly in his 80s. Probably 20 years difference, 15, 20 years difference. But yeah, they certainly qualify as people who can read the oddest material, or can think of something like presidential assassins or cats and see, like you say, and see it on a Broadway stage.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.